Fisher. We're talking real money.
Skies with a high near 90 degrees. Clear skies tonight with lows.
Don McDonald is out today. I'm Tom Koch, and thank you for joining us here on Talking Real Money. For those of you who have never been part of the program before, the program really is about you, your questions, your concerns, your issues, your needs when it comes to, that thing that you like not to spend that much time thinking about, but you have to do some money. And here's our telephone number. It's 855-935-8255, 855-935-8255. Callers always come first on the program. I do want to mention many of you have written over the last couple of weeks about Don's brother. It's been very touching to see the number of people who listen to the podcast and the radio show who've reached out and passed along to Don your thoughts and your prayers. Don did lose his brother earlier this week. And it's been a tough occasion, of course, as it would be for anyone. But this is his second brother to pass away in the last 5 or 6 years. So I think it makes it even more difficult. Don had already planned on taking a vacation today from the show, which he almost never has done in us doing this together for many decades. So I hope you'll keep his family in your thoughts and prayers during this difficult time. So, all right, let's move on to other topics. And can I say, because it's out there, I hope this is going to be okay, that the plot chickens, I got a note from somebody earlier today said, Don can't interrupt your bad puns today or your bad dad jokes. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And why the chicken? Why am I picking on the chicken? Because it's a foul topic. Here's why. According to the Wall Street Journal, the cost of chicken eggs is up in the last year 33%. The cost of those eggs, 33%. If you want to buy the chicken, it's up 19%. Now, I'm assuming this is not an egg-producing chicken you're buying. So I'm going to have a good talking to next time I'm... No, all kidding aside, the prices of some of these airfares, according to the Wall Street Journal, up 34%. Butter up 21%. Good news, I'm old and I have all the men's suits I need because they're up 25%. But the biggest gainer, this won't surprise you, regular unleaded gasoline, up a whopping 61% year over year. So inflation is definitely here. I mean, I think inflation in the month of June was running at over 9%. Wholesale inflation still running higher. And I know things have tailed off a little bit here in July, especially in terms of energy costs as gas has come down a bit. But you're hearing a lot about this, a lot about inflation, as you should, a lot about a potential recession, as maybe you should and maybe you shouldn't, and a lot about the bear market, right? The fact that some stocks, not stock markets really so much anymore, have fallen 20% or more from their most recent highs. In fact, year to date, a globally diversified portfolio is down a hair over 16%, 16.7%. So not a bear market, not unusual. The part that's unusual is the fact that the safer part of your portfolio, bonds, have gone down as well. So, but what do you do with all this? I mean, it's coming at you. There's a lot of information here. And, you know, one of the things around inflation is something that we don't spend much time talking about sort of your personal spending. We're more on the saving and investing side. But this is, for me, this is always a great time to look at those expenses. We have a tendency, all of us, to have a little lifestyle creep, right? I added Netflix, I added Hulu, I added Paramount Plus. I have no idea how many subscription services I have to watch television. I just know there's a lot of them. And from time to Apple, I got to think, should I go check that out to see what's on there? I rely on other media to tell me what to watch on my streaming services. But I think this is a good time to go check those things. And the other things that you pay regularly on, right? The phone, the internet, auto insurance. I think the last time we talked about this, we had done some work looking at ours, both Don and myself, and we reduced ours by 50%. We were paying another supplier of auto insurance far more than we should have, home insurance. All those things are worthy of regular consideration. You know, maybe every year at the outside, maybe more often than that, because oftentimes you're spending money that you may or may not need to spend, and there's ways to reduce that. So there's one way to fight inflation. We'll talk about dealing with a bear market. We'll also take your questions and calls, of course, at 855-935-TALK as we continue talking real money. We'll be right back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Your guide to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to Talking Real Money. We'd love to talk to you, give you some help around saving, spending, investing money. Our telephone number to do so, 855-935-8255, 855-935-TALK. As I mentioned, I'm Tom. Don has the day off. You're out there trying to figure all this out, and we're in here just ready to try to answer. So give us a ring. Let's go to the phones, and Will joins us now on Talking Real Money. Hi, Will.
Hi, Tom. It's a great privilege to speak with you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling.
I'm one of your many loyal listeners, and I hope you'll, on our behalf, extend our warmest sympathies for your partner there.
Thank you so much for that.
Of course. Back in March 4th, I sent you an email. You may not have seen it. I know you get so many. But basically, it was subject was generous ambition, and I'm hoping that you guys, maybe not now, but at some point, would cover some ideas I had shared with you. Basically, we who are responsible and active listening, taking owning responsibility for our financial future, sometimes are a little unhappy to hear a financially irresponsible government telling us that we must, spend our money, take our money out of our RMDs. And I think I found a strategy to avoid that, to have RMDs still remain within our control. And it's just as a matter of our own generosity. When we formalize our, support for charity through a private foundation, private foundations have been able to support 401k plans since 1996. Since they've been able to do that, and no one owns any portion of a private foundation, not even 5%, there goes the inability of the government to tell us what we must do with our retirement funds.
And so this is, you're putting the money into, you're doing a QCD of some kind that's a little fancier than a QCD?
No, actually establishing a private foundation. We're very blessed, my wife and I, very, very frugal. Our greatest expense is saving for our retirement.
Yep.
She's in her late 40s. I just turned 50, and we give to charity in an informal way. But if we formalize it, make it a structured entity of a private foundation, which to establish it costs us like $2,000, and we properly manage it, and we give away 5% of the assets each year, we manage the assets to grow. No law in the United States requires that people work for free, and it's reasonable for us as the founders to be paid a stipend, a minimum, cost. The standard is that it must be reasonable compared to what others are paid for similar work. By doing that, we make ourselves employees of the private foundation we establish.
Yep.
And as employees, that private foundation, that charity, 501c3 organization, can sponsor a 401k. And no one is required to take required minimum distributions if they don't own 5% of their current employer.
That is interesting. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, that's true if you are even after at 72 when you're required to start taking the money out.
Yeah, but you are not required to take RMDs on 401k plans if you are an employee.
And you're still working. And you don't have more than 5%. Yeah, that's true.
Right. If you are still working and you do not own 5%, and no one owns any portion of
that is very creative. I've never heard of that. And here's the thing. I'm not going to sprinkle my holy water on it because I'd be scared to death if somebody called me in 10 years and said, hey, the IRS just wrote me a note and I got to pay, et cetera, et cetera. But I will do this. Number one, I really appreciate the call. And I will ask the so we have several people now that we work with since we're part of a bigger organization that are they spend time on things like this where I don't get to. And I will ask them. I'd be very curious. And so I will go back and look for your email too, Will. We will respond via email once I check. That's a fascinating idea. As you say, then it kind of works two ways. You're getting still some benefit by having saved that money, but at the same time, you're not required to take it out. So I'll look into all that. That's thank you for your call. That's very interesting. Wow, I've never heard of that in doing this for a very long time. Let's go back to the phones and chat with Greg, who joins us here on Talking Real Money. Hi, Greg.
How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Good. Just maybe a quick or simple question, possibly. We've got an adjustable rate mortgage, and it's coming due in a month or so as far as going up from 2.5 to 4.5. On the other side, we kind of ran into some extra cash, and I'm just wondering, should I pay off that mortgage or just let that go?
Wow, it is anything under a 5% in terms of interest, I really look like, why would I pay that off? Because even at 4%, which sounds like a whole lot more than the deals we're getting a year ago, right? when they're writing the stuff for 2.5%. And my son just bought his first house. I think he's paying like 5.3 or something. And here's the other part, because I hear people saying, pay off your mortgage, pay off your mortgage, pay off your mortgage. If you need liquidity in retirement, and most of us do, it's harder to get at that, money that's tied up in your house rather than staying liquid with the other money, investing it as part of your overall plan, whether that means it's going to be cash, stocks, or bonds, whatever that's going to be, and then simply paying your mortgage down. That's going to be my strategy. I've said this publicly. I do not plan on having my mortgage completely paid off by the time I retire. I could, but I'd rather keep liquid so that I can spend the money in ways I want to rather than fretting about the fact that I can't get at it. I still will have plenty of equity in my home. So does that make sense? So I'd have to look at your situation and say, yeah, you really should pay it off because you got plenty of other assets and it's not going to matter. The amount is inconsequential. Or you really should just let them, keep going ahead at 4%. The issue to you is going to be what that might look like again in a year or two if rates were to continue to rise, correct?
Yeah, that was going to be a second question. So
yeah,
you're right.
That's another thing. So could you rewrite it into a new, 30-year fixed at 5? That's something to think about. How much do you owe on it?
200.
And how much is the home worth?
Well, the Zillow says 1.4.
Well, I'll drop by and offer you 1.2. We'll make a deal. That's a lot of equity. And do you have plenty of liquidity in other, like, retirement-type accounts?
We would always like more, but, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I would guess, and thank you for your call, Greg. I would probably look into whether or not you could do a 30-year again, how much liquidity you're going to need in retirement before I would take a lump of $200,000 and pay off the mortgage. 855-935-TALK. Join us.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, VESTORY.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to Talking Real Money. Our telephone number is 855-935-TALK. That's 855-935-8255. Talking a little about inflation. We're talking about recession. We're talking about bear markets. You know, one other thing, because Greg raised it, always is a good one in dealing with inflation is paying off debt. I mean, especially high interest credit card debt, loans, and maybe even a HELOC. I mean, stuff like that. You start getting into paying off the mortgage. It gets a little more complex, and it's not as simple as just saying, I want to get rid of the mortgage so I'm living debt-free in retirement, unless you have plenty of liquidity in other accounts. Then you could kind of make that argument. Otherwise, I think it's more complex. You know, we're going to go back to the phones and talk to a friend of the show, a friend of mine, author of its 8 books, writes regularly for the Wall Street Journal's Market Watch. We've talked to him many times. And beyond all those things, he's been a great friend for 30-plus years. Paul Merriman, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Tom, it is wonderful to be back. And I was just thinking about that 30 years and how much you knew about investing 30 years ago. And
not
how
much.
much you know today. No, it bowls me over. It is just amazing to see how knowledgeable you have become about planning and investing. You've done a great job, and you're a great teacher. So thanks for all that you've done for others.
Oh, that's very kind. I should also mention that Paul was recently awarded the American Association of Individual Investors James Clunan Award for Excellence in Investment Education because he spent his retirement, not in retirement, in helping others. You can go to his website, paulmerriman.com, learn more about that. But, okay, the topic of the day, the topic du jour has to be this bear market we're in. What are you telling investors about what to do about the bear?
Well, you know, I guess that depends on what your commitment is to either a buy and hold or a market timing kind of strategy. If you're going to let this cause you to change your philosophy and your commitment to the way you've been running your money, then I'm afraid you haven't got the right plan, because you need a plan that already knows how you're going to do in a bear market. And I will tell you, Tom, I didn't get a chance to hear your comments about inflation. But people think they know how inflation and the market work together. And I really don't think many people do. I mean, I'll just give you a quick example. From about 1978 until 81, for many months in a row, the inflation was more than 7% from the previous year ago point. And this went on for many, many months. And the one thing I would not want to be in is the market when you're going through that kind of an adjustment and people are just struggling and everything bad. I mean, it's like the same kinds of feelings we have when we hear the market's going down. We just don't want to be part of it. But let me tell you the rest of the story, because over that period of time, the S&P 500 compounded at 12.3% a year, and small cap value compounded at 25.8% a year.
Wow.
During this catastrophic period of time, 45 consecutive months of at least a 7% inflation on a trailing 1 year basis.
That's so astounding. It's something to know. Yeah. We've got to go to the news here in a second, Paul, but I'm assuming you can continue on here for a few more minutes, correct?
Of course.
Okay. I'm sorry you missed the beginning.
You mean right
because
now. Of course.
I'm sorry you missed the start of the show because you missed my work as a real comedian hen when I was talking about the chickens. So anyway, we'll spend some time unpacking that a little bit. We'll talk about how you should be invested today, invested tomorrow, also what you can do for your grandkids. Paul wants you to invest in U.S. small cap value. He can give you some great numbers on why that should be part of your portfolio, and for many of you it is not. And we'll continue with all those things, your questions and calls as well. Here's the telephone number, 855 855-935-8255. Talk 855-935-8255. We'll continue talking real money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Welcome back to Talking Real Money. Tom Koch here, Don McDonald with the day off. And, you know, we're talking about inflation. We're talking about recession. We're talking about bear markets, talking about cloudy skies and highs of around 70. It's got to be the Northwest summer, I guess. I mean, one day somebody's going to look back on the summer of 2022. You remember the summer of 2022 was just horrendous. It never stopped raining. The prices never stopped going up. But we're talking to somebody who's been through all this once or twice or maybe even three times, and he's written much about it, and you should take advantage of all the free stuff he gives you at his foundation, which is amazing. The amount of portfolios, all the rest of it is up there at paulmerriman.com. Paul Merriman, thank you for being on the program. You focus, so there's a lot of asset classes people can buy. Most people have a tendency, I think, because it's easy to buy large cap sort of growth companies, the big ones, Apple, Amazon, the former Facebook, all that stuff. They tend to they pile into that stuff, I think, because they know the companies and it's easy to buy and you can buy it today for so little cost. But you've been telling people for decades that they should make sure that part of their portfolio is committed to a thing called U.S. small cap value stocks. First, tell us what those are and how they've made a big difference to people's portfolios over the long haul.
Well, when you talk about the S&P 500 and those great companies, those companies on average are hundreds of billions of dollars in terms of the number of shares times the price in the market. They call that the capitalization of that company. And the S&P 500 and the total market index, those are huge companies. They are great companies. That's now. But the other group that you mentioned, small cap value, and there are many more groups that people want to dive into this, but small cap value, those companies are around, let's say, $3 billion. They're legitimate public companies, and they've been tracked since 1928 by the academic community. And what we know is because they're smaller, because they're not necessarily the favorites, value companies, whether it's in the S&P 500 or the small cap index, they are the companies that are not the hot ones. They're not the big plays. They're not the way to get rich quickly, but small cap value as an asset class compounds at about 3% plus better over a very long period of time. And when we start talking about investing for a lifetime, and even if it's only a 10% position in that index, it will make a difference. It may make the difference as to when you retire. It may make the difference as to what you leave to others. It may make the difference how you live in retirement. But it is an established asset class that doesn't get a lot of information put out because it isn't the Teslas and the Facebooks and all of the Microsofts, et cetera. So I want people to hopefully have, and particularly young people, to have small cap value in their portfolio. And Tom, I don't know how much you have in yours, but I'll show you mine, and I've got about 50% of the equities that I own are in small, and about 75% of that amount is small cap value. So, and I'm 78 years old, but I'm not afraid. I also have the S&P 500 and the traditional kinds of asset classes. But this is the man. And by the way, this is what I think you teach. I haven't been to one of your workshops in years, but don't you teach the idea of having some small cap value in the portfolio?
Absolutely, yeah. And by the way, the you show me yours, I'll show you mine thing, that almost cost me a job about 15 years ago when I was working with you. So I'm not going to go there. But I will say that, yeah, of course we include this in our portfolios. Of course, it's a big part of our portfolios. The reason that I wanted you to talk about it is I think it's, for most people, it's overlooked. And the reason why is if you look at 401k plans, for example, most of them don't have it. They might have a small cap part, and generally it's more expensive, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all kinds of reasons to focus on that. Now, you mentioned younger people. You're going to add a very much younger person to your brood here soon with a new grandchild. And you've been fantastic over the years of saying, think about what the power of compounding if you start doing something for them at a young age. Now, all I've done for my grandkids is 529s. When we come back, I want to talk about the ideas that you have proposed and the new one you've got now about helping young people, setting them up for a fantastic future. So we'll talk with Paul about that. 855-935-TALK is our telephone number. Give us a call. Glad to talk with you here on Talking Real Money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Thank you for being part of Talking Real Money. We're here every Saturday live on Northwest News Radio from 12 to 2. And this becomes a podcast. For those of you listening to the podcast, you already know that. But for those of you who've never heard it, just go to any of your podcast services or even online. Type in talkingrealmoney.com and we're right there. We do some video work. We do a lot of podcasts. We get a lot of questions and we love it. So take part in all that. And today, if you want to call right now and ask us a question, 855-935-8255. We're talking with Paul Merriman, who has really spent the majority of his life, and certainly since he retired. You know, the thing I love about the work you do today, Paul, you're not selling anything. I mean, this is the kind of advice people should get, because you've got nothing to hawk. So they should be listening to you. Now, I still manage money for a living, so I have a conflict. I want you to be my client because you're going to pay me to do that. I get that. There's no arguing with that. But you are selling nothing other than people go to your free website where they can learn more. But the other thing you've done, which I just totally admire, is thinking about not just the next generation, but the generation beyond that, the grandkids. And long ago, you had talked about putting together a trust for them, putting a little bit of money away and what all that meant. But I know you've been working on some new ideas there as well, because you've got another grandchild arriving this fall. So congratulations on that. And tell us more.
Well, it's a girl.
No, fantastic.
Let me tell you. let me tell you about what I'm recommending. Yes, I have done trusts for every one of my grandkids. And I set those trusts up so they couldn't touch the money, and it compounded tax deferred until they were 65. And things highly controlling, but wanted to for sure have that money set aside for their retirement. But I've come to my senses, and as I thought about it, probably the right thing to do, and anybody could do this, anybody. You don't have to have a special document. $365 a year. You could do it with $100 a year, but when they're born, if you could just put away $365 a year, you can go to Fidelity, you can go to Schwab, you could put it in small cap value, you could let it build, and every year you add a 365 until that child is 21. Now, they may start working and doing things, whether it's mowing lawns or babysitting or working for some large organization when they're in their teens, you can take money out of that account that you've set up, and you use it to fund a Roth IRA. And in theory, if the market is, let's call it normal, Tom, and you legitimately get a 12% compound rate of return, which is much less than what small cap value has gotten over the last 94 years, you would have enough to fund the first 5 years of a $6,000 a year a Roth IRA when that child is 21, if you had not put any money aside. And let me tell you what I'm recommending. I'm recommending that and only that money be nothing but small cap value. And then you just, after you finished putting that money that you saved for them, in essence, you lock it up, you leave it, and then you just let it ride, if we want to use that term, let it grow until that child is 65 years old. And between what you could take out, taking out 5% a year, and what you, in retirement I'm talking, Tom, and what you leave to heirs, they leave to heirs behind, could total as much as $50 million. In fact,
wow,
if this is done inside of a 401k plan where somebody's matching, if they're matching the money that you put aside for that child and you can put it into a Roth 401k, man, you have got one of the greatest investments that I could ever imagine. Now, they can, by the way, they can do standard stuff after they get done with that first 5 years. Maybe it's a target date fund or something more conservative. They won't need much more aggressive after they put that 5 years away in small cap value.
That's astounding. So I just did the math. I think I have this right. That's a $7,600 roughly investment in those first 20 plus years. And then you're saying that could grow to millions. It's astounding because of the length of time and the compounding. As I say, if the past looks like the future. Okay, but we're going to put you on the spot here a little bit. Which, if you had to pick one or two exchange-traded funds or mutual funds to do that in, which ones would it be?
Well, the one that I like for the, I mean, you could just put it in there and leave it, from everything I know about the way it's managed, is the Avantis Small Cap Value Fund. There's
That's
also
AVUV?
A DFA Small Cap Value. AVUV, you got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know the fund well. Yeah, I know the
and
fund very well.
That's a commission-free fund at Fidelity. Fidelity has no minimum investment and commission-free if you're doing it online. And I got to tell you, here I am at 78, have been around this business since 1963, and I'll tell you, investing has never been as efficient, as easy, as profitable. Now, we can't know what the profitability will be, but Wall Street gets so little of your money today compared
Good.
To what they got when I came into the industry. All of that is to your advantage. And these low-cost, commission-free ETFs are just, I think, going to be magic for people if they keep their hands off it. And as I think about that bear market you were talking about, Tom, you know what John Bogle, he said, invest right, sit tight, don't peak.
Those I think that's good advice. Yeah.
Magic words.
No, that's good advice. We're talking with Paul Merriman. Of course, he's in charge of the Merriman Foundation, where you can go, the Education Foundation, Financial Education. You can go there and see all the tools. They got portfolios of every type, articles. What's new there at paulmerriman.com before we let you get away?
Well, this may not be exactly new because it's been costing people money to go to Amazon and buy it. And that is your friend and mine, Don McDonald, read We're Talking Millions, 12 Simple Ways to Supercharge Your Retirement. He read the book, and we're making that available now as an audio book free at paulmerriman.com/sign-up. And he's got such a wonderful voice.
That he does.
He knows this material so well. Yeah, he's terrific.
Well, that's exciting. And so, and again, one final question for you here, because we are in this, I think, fairly challenging time for people with, as I mentioned at the top of the program, with inflation. We may be in a recession or soon there, and the bear market. other than what you just mentioned about John Bogle, whose advice I think is very good about not peaking, how do people deal with their emotions? Because you can't hide from the headlines. I mean, it's out there everywhere, whether it's radio, television, internet, actual newspapers, which I still get. That information is out there, and they play on your emotions. How do you help people sort of deal with getting through this difficult period?
Well, I think it starts with an education. And that education, I think, an important part of it is to realize what the past has looked like and what came out of it. Because if you wrote the headlines from every year since 1928, you're going to see depression, war.
It's all out there. Paul Merriman, thank you for joining us here on Talking Real Money. We'll be right back.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Thank you for being part of Talking Real Money every week. We appreciate it. If you want a little more help, more specifics, looking at your portfolio, making sure you're on track, making some suggestions, we give you that free. Go to Vestory.com. You can sign up right there for an appointment at the time that meets your schedule. We'll help you with all this. There's no cost or obligation. And again, you're going to walk out of that meeting and say, aha, I could make this little change and my life looks a lot better. So go online, make that appointment. Get your life on track when it comes to your finances. It's Vestory.com, Vestory.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary, investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. As you keep the lawyers happy.